The intro is called Jesus Is, and our theme verse that you're going to be hearing a lot of is 1 John 2:6 that says this: whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way he walked. Whoever says he abides in him, so if you claim that you're a Christian, if you indeed are a Christian, you ought to walk in the same way Jesus walked. I love this little video clip. Some of you may have seen it. A guy named Francis Chan did a video clip when he was talking to a youth group. It was like a summer camp. And he posed the question, why is it so difficult and why do we make it so complicated with this idea of following Jesus? Like if Jesus says, just do. And he compares it to Simon Says. So we're going to play a quick game. Simon Says, all right? So hopefully you guys know the rules of the game. Simon Says, raise your left hand. Go ahead. You're out. Someone raise their right hand. All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Really? Thank you for the three that actually play the game. I tried to be as pastoral. Simon Says, put your hand down. You three made it. I don't have a prize for you, so you just have bragging rights. The idea is this, is that when, you know, Simon says it's easy. Well, apparently, I thought it was easy. The whole church failed. But, maybe next week if you're lucky. But Francis Chan poses this question, why is it so difficult when it comes when the things that Jesus says? Why do we have such a hard time actually doing those things? And he compares it to asking his daughter to clean her room. If he, as a father, says, honey, go clean your room, and then a few hours later he asks, hey, did you go clean her room? And she says, well, me and a few friends got together and discussed what it would look like to clean my room. We sat around and discussed it. We had a little Bible study about it. And then we took the idea of cleaning the room and parsed it in the Greek and looked for the deep theology behind the idea of cleaning room. Now, if one of my kids did that, I would say, witty, awesome, go clean your room. Because it's that simple. But for some reason, when Jesus says, we decide to take this idea of going, okay, so what would it look like for me? And we go serve Jesus in our hearts and not actually just walk as he walked. That it's this idea of just like, you know, hey, go clean your room. And as his daughter said, well, actually, I'm just cleaning my room in my heart. How would that go over as a parent? Not good, right? Yeah, again, witty, go clean your room. But that's the whole idea in this next few weeks or next 4, possibly 5, maybe 6 weeks of what does it look like to follow Jesus and simply walk in the same way in which he walked. And this week, we're talking about this idea of freedom. Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. Jesus is freedom. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. If you're using the Bibles that are provided for you in front of the seats, that is on page 894. And if you don't have a Bible, please take that as a gift from this church and use that Bible and bring it next week. John 8, chapter 8, verse 31. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in a house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Blessed be the reading of God's word. If you would, please stay standing for a word of prayer. Father, as we dive into your word this morning, I pray that you would bless your message and that you would bless your people through it, that you would speak to me and through me to your people for your glory and our joy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So the context of our verse is that Jesus is debating with some Pharisees in about the middle of chapter 8, and they're going back and forth on authority and testimony. And then it's interesting, It says that he started, now there's a separation, there's a gap where he talks about people that had a tendency to want to, like, hey, maybe this guy is the Messiah. He calls them people that were believing, Jews that were believing in Jesus. And so he goes through and he's talking to him about this idea, and we just read what was going on there. But so that's the context, but I want to ask this question. When Jesus was here on this earth, when him being God becomes a man, comes to this earth and walks in human form, was he free? Was he free? It's a good question to ask. I got a few scriptures to show you from John. Well, start with John chapter 6. I have come down from heaven, listen to this, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So begs the question, was Jesus free? Look at John 8:38. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. John 8:38. And then in Luke 22, he says this, the famous prayer, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said was subject to God. So it begs the question, was Jesus free? Before we get there, we should really ask the question, what is freedom? Webster defines freedom as the state, the quality or state of being free, the absence of necessity, coercion, constraint, or choice in action. So the absence of constraint in choice or action. I did some research on kind of some people that you might know who might be able to define freedom. Famous rapper Pitbull. You guys know him? I'm sure all of you do. He says, free to do what I want and have a good time. One of the other famous rappers, Pharrell, says, hold on to me, don't let me go. Who cares what they see? Who cares what they know? And then one more. Yeah, you got to do what you do. What you do may not be what you want from me, just the way it's got to be. Lose the face now. I've got to live. I've got to live. I've got to live. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Anyone? George Michael. All right. Many define freedom, and it's usually set in a, I get to do what I want, when I want, mindset. Like, I can do whatever I want. Don't tread on me. Don't have authority over me. You don't get to tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. And it brings up this idea of autonomy, that we're self-governing. It's desire without a compass. But yet, Jesus came to this earth as God in the flesh and as an example of perfect humanity and only did what God wanted. So again, was Jesus free? A bigger question is God free? Like, is God the Father ultimately free to do anything? The answer is no. The answer is no. There was a time when I was on the campus, and this was very, very a big thing for people that were atheists or humanists, when they would ask the question, can God do anything? And the average Christian answer would be, yes, of course. Yes, of course God can do anything. And then they would throw out this question, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Now, what do you do with that? If you can't make a rock so big, can't lift it, then you can't do anything. But if you can make a rock so big he can't lift it, therefore he can't do anything. And then all the Christians are like, oh no, what do I do? And their faith is destroyed. So... But if somebody asks you that question, you say, no, God can't do anything. He will and he will never do anything outside of his character. Ever. Begs the question, can God lie? No, he cannot. So he can't do anything. So even when we look at the God of the universe, who defines and sets the bar for all logic, reason, and morality, doesn't even have the freedom as the world would define freedom. In fact, that type of freedom that I get to do what I want whenever I want, I can do anything, that just leave me alone, you can't be the boss of me, I'm a slave to nothing, that freedom does not exist at all, ever. It's fiction. And it only exists in the reality. It does not exist in reality. It only takes residence in the mind of fools. Look at verse 33 and 34. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a what? Slave to sin." Romans 6:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And look at Romans 6 up on the screen. "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" God, who is the standard of all, basically just called it out right there as he spoke to the Apostle Paul and says, there's two ways. You are either a slave to sin, which is bondage, chains, and we know from Scripture, ultimately death, or you are a slave to righteousness, which brings about the righteousness of Christ, freedom, what we're talking about this morning, and ultimately eternal life. So again, was Jesus free? In John 14, 6, famous verse, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, truth sets you free. That's what a lot of people say, right? But really, the idea is it's not so much, it's kind of a tangent, it's not so much that just truth in and of itself sets you free, it's who embodies truth, and that's Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus is the one who sets us free. It's not just truth, it's a person, Jesus Christ. And in your Bibles, you see in verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In verse 36, "So if the Son set you free, you will be free indeed." Now, Jesus is offering something here, and you can't offer something you don't have. So the answer to the question is, yes, Jesus was free. Yet, everything he did and said was submitted to the Father. So it begs the question, is true freedom found in walking in the wills and ways of God? It begs the question, is true freedom found walking in the wills and ways of God? Now, that can be a dangerous statement or a dangerous question. So, because then it could really tighten this up. And what I mean by that is if we say, okay, I want to have true freedom. I'm called to be free. Jesus says I'm free, so I want to walk in freedom. But the new pastor guy said that walking in the wills and ways of God ultimately brings about freedom just like Jesus. And so then it'd be easy for us to go, well, then what does that mean? Do I go right or do I go left? Do I go up or do I go down? Do I make this choice or that choice? And we can easily fall into this idea of legalism. We're just like, I don't know what to do. What's God's will? And then we're just stuck. And thankfully, God has not left us in that type of situation. Look at John 8:24. It's so up just before the scripture that we read. "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And the first step, the first point, is the first step to freedom is to believe. Look at John 6:28 up on the screen. "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered him, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent,'" that we believe in Jesus. And so the first idea of what it means to be free is simple faith. That we actually believe it. And this isn't just salvation. This is also for us as Christians. Because I'm going to talk about in a little bit, why don't we as Christians always experience this depth of freedom? And the answer is still the same, faith. Do you actually believe that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection set you free? We need to believe as believers, which is kind of ironic. Because as Christians, what are we called? Believers in Christ. But the challenge is, believers in Christ, believe. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now, for those of you here that may not be Christians, for those of you here that are maybe like the guys that are listening to Jesus at this point in this text, it says, hey, maybe this guy is the Messiah. I just want you to listen in for a second. Just listen in to what I'm about to talk about, and what I'm about to talk about are the benefits of being in Christ. What does it mean to be free in Christ? What are we actually free from? And my hope is that you, in seeing that, might get you to the points where you say, hey, I'm interested. I want to be free from these things. What does it look like for me? And that you might come to faith. So the first thing we are free from is sin and sin nature. Romans 6:18 says, having been set free from sin. Look at Romans 6:6 on the board. We know, or on the screen. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This idea of being born again. Jesus is talking to a guy in John chapter 3, a Pharisee called Nicodemus. And he says, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus says, can a man be born twice through the womb? Like, you're talking about reincarnation? Like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And he goes, and later he says, no, God is spirit. The spirit blows where he wishes. This is a spiritual thing. It doesn't mean that you will be physically born again. You would get new bodies, but the idea of being spiritually born again, that all things become new, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That famous verse, John 3:16. See, therefore, as Christians, we may sin, but it no longer defines us. See, before faith, we are children of wrath, bondage, chains, and death. But now, by faith, we are children of God, where we have righteousness, freedom, and life. And we are set free not only from the idea and punishment of sin, but also our sin nature. See, we were born into sin, but the idea of being born again sets us free from the nature that always causes us to want to do wrong. So we are free from sin and sin nature. Number two, free from the darkness of this world. Look at Colossians 1 on the screen. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain and darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So we are not only set free from our sin and our sin nature, but we also have a new kingdom with a new king. We once walked in darkness. We once were blind, pretending we knew which way to go and who we were and how to live, but we ultimately were blind and we didn't even know it. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ enters our life, much like the song Amazing Grace, we once were blind, but now we see. And it begs the question, why would we follow those that are in darkness? As Peter mentioned in his prayer, that we would see things that cause us to go back into slavery and that we would turn from those things and follow Christ, because ultimately that is freedom. And so oftentimes we find ourselves following people who are blind. It's like, as Jesus says, the blind leading the blind. Fools who pretend to live in freedom, pretend to act that they're so cool that it even fools us. I mean, let's think about it. In high school, who is the most popular? Was the person that knew who they were, right? There was a certain confidence in that they knew. They never were fooled. They never were, you know, they just had that confidence. And so people followed them in their confidence. And we see that all the time throughout our lives, where we see this confidence and we think to ourselves, well, I kind of want to be like that. And so we begin to kind of follow in their ways. But ultimately, they're blind. And if they walk dead, they go over a bridge, what do? We follow them right down it. But Jesus comes in and says, hey, follow me. Follow me. You've been set free from sin, your sin nature. You've been given light. Your eyes can see. You're no longer in this kingdom of darkness under the bondage of Satan. Don't follow other people that are in that bondage. Don't let the allure of the world and that confidence that they seem to have, because at the end of the day, we all find out they're pretending, right? Right? I mean, school reunions give that away. You know, you're like, wow, that guy was like the super football star. And if you were that guy, I apologize, I'm going to use your example right now, but we look at that, oh man, and then he goes, and he's so stuck in the glory days that he never fully fulfills his calling or his dreams. That guy. So let's start now and stop looking to the people of the world and follow Jesus, because he truly brings freedom. As I said, true freedom is found in walking in the wills and ways of God And Jesus exemplified that. So we are not only free from the darkness of the world and free from sin and sin nature, we are also free from the law. Romans 8, 2, verse 4 through 4 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There was a lot there, but at the end of the day, what that's saying is Jesus came and lived his life for us, and a righteousness has been declared to us. And he, because he fulfilled the law, we now don't have to follow the law, but we're not under the subjection of the law anymore, the very law that condemns us. How many of you guys have been pulled over and got a speeding ticket? Really? Okay, we got to work on truth. thou shalt not lie. All right. How many of you know that when you usually get pulled over for a speeding ticket, it's clear that you were speeding, even though you might try to talk your way out of it or whatever? The bottom line is there, and usually, unless you can talk your way out of it, you get a penalty. For those of us that don't really understand the law of God, that's what's going on. God has established a law, and there's a penalty for that law. But God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the full penalty in his death on the cross so that we don't have to. Therefore, we're set free from the penalty of the law. Quick story, this just might work for you. One time, I was speeding. I know, it's hard to believe. I was actually on my way to drop off a guy. We were running late. He was going on a missions trip, and I was taken to an airport. And we were speeding. We got pulled over. And he comes up, and he actually pulled me over with another person. Have you ever seen that? Pull over two people at one time? He comes up and asks for my license and registration. And I said, "Hey, is there any way you can let me off? I was clearly speeding. I've broken the law. Is there any way you can let me go?" He goes, "Why would I do that?" I said, "Pure grace, man. Pure grace." So he takes my paperwork, goes to his car, goes to the other car, goes to his car again, goes to the other car, gives them a ticket, comes back to me, hands me my paperwork, and says, "You know what the good Lord says?" I said, "Well, he says a lot of things." I didn't know where he was going. He goes, "You have not because you asked not. They didn't ask. Have a good day." Boom. I just got off a ticket. I just want to call this out. When I say that we're free in Christ, can I get the same response as getting off a ticket? Can it just a little bit? All right, sorry. It is a good story. All right. When we're set free from the law, when we're born again, it begins to change our desires. It begins to change our desires. See, God, when posed the question, "Can God do anything?" the answer is no. But when posed the question, "Can God do whatever he wants?" the answer is yes. Because he lives by his character. And when we, as born-again Christians, are living into what it means to live in Christ, our desires begin to change. We're like infants learning. As adults, as people coming to Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2, 2. It says this, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into your salvation." And so one of the first applications points to this idea of being set free from the law. So it means, what does it look like? We read the word. Like, what does it look like to respond to this freedom that we have? We read scripture. That's what Peter means by pure spiritual milk. And we get into scripture. So that last thing is, what else are we free from? We're free from death. 1 John 2:25 says up on the screen, "And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." We have, as Christians, eternal life. We are free, not only from the penalty of death, but we are also free from the fear of death, because we have something greater. We have something to look forward to. I always remember one of the guys that discipled me way back when I was living in Hawaii. If you've ever been to Hawaii, first of all, there's trade winds. Second of all, the driving is loose. Like, you just got to pay attention to where you're driving. If you've ever seen the big trucks, those really big sugarcane trucks, they're huge. They're like the size of this room. And one of those trucks, as we're going down one of the freeways, one of the trucks comes out, and he has to swerve and hit it. And I always remember when he says this. He goes, "You can't scare me with heaven," because that's the idea. Like, we almost died. But he said, "You can't scare me with heaven." And I always thought to myself, as a brand new kind of younger Christian, like, that's true. Like, I don't have to be afraid of death. Like, if I almost die, man, I'm going to heaven, and it's okay. Revelation 21 says this. This is our future, saints. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was sitting on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." In Christ, we have been set free from sin, darkness, the law, and death. And this is who we are. We used to be children of wrath, bondage, chains, and death. But now, we're children of God, righteousness, life, and freedom. So as I asked earlier, why do we not always experience this freedom as Christians? Like, if we truly are free, why do we not always experience this freedom as Christians? And our freedom, the interesting thing about the gospel is our freedom never stops being true, but our experience of it seems to fade. And so the first thing I'd like to say is believe. Believe. Like, in answering the question, am I free in Christ? You got to answer it for yourself. Do I actually believe that? Because the ultimate reality, based on how you feel, may not be true. Like, I don't feel free right now, but Jesus, the God of the universe, comes in and says, "No, you actually are free. Do you believe that?" A few years ago, I saw a Christian counselor, and we were, I've been walking with, at this point, walking with Jesus for over 20 years, and we did this prayer where he reminded me of a time that I was truly free. And it was a time when I was in Hawaii, and I would run on the beach and have devotions for hours, and just this time where I was just like a brand new Christian. And then he reminded me and kind of showed me the freedom that you had then is the same freedom you have now. The freedom that you had then is the same freedom you have now. The second thing that strips our freedom as Christians is this idea of holiness, or lack thereof. Though our freedom never ceases to be true, when we walk in disobedience to our God, our experience of what's true and what's not gets convoluted. Like, does God love you? Does God love you right now? Does God forgive you? And are you still free? The answer is yes. I think all of us struggle in this. I know that in my own personal struggle with sins, I'm the same way. I know I'm forgiven. But while I'm sinning, in fact, I just got, just as we were packing and the tensions were high, my wife and I got in an argument, and I know it's surprising that a pastor gets in a fight with his wife, but it's true. We do. And you can feel it. Like, you can feel your patience being replaced by a short fuse, and you can kind of have that, like, your joy is stripped as you're walking in that tension and the anxiety, at least for us. And so we have to fight and preach to ourselves and confess, and we apologize, and we made up, and we, hey, I'm sorry for, we confessed it to one another. The interesting thing is that did anything about the gospel or my identity in the middle of me fighting with my wife change? No. I was still free in Christ. My sin was still forgiven, but my experience of it lacked. 1 John 3 up on the screen says this, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And by this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts." Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk, is what 1 John said. When we walk as Jesus walked, we continually reassure our hearts of the positional security we have in Christ. And so the application is simple. Believe. Simply believe. Find, what is it for you? Let me ask you this question. What is it for you that when you think about that one moment where you felt so free in Christ? Was it your baptism? that day you got baptized? Was it when you first confessed Christ? Maybe you were at a high school camp or Hume Lake, like a portion of that for me, or whatever it was. It's like, what is that for you? Now think about that and hold on to that and come back to that. There's an old school saying by the Reformers, remember your baptism. It was the same idea. Like, come back to that moment where when you were first baptized and you come out of the water and you publicly declared what inwardly had already happened. Whatever it is, come back and believe and preach to yourself. Write it with an expo marker. You'll see in one of my vehicles in my rearview mirror, it says, I am free in Christ. As a constant reminder, write it as on your bathroom mirror, just right up here. It was written on my bathroom mirror, and then my wife cleaned our bathroom, and my freedom was gone. But be intentional about believing and preach to yourself. Like, what is it? Come back to that moment. Write it down. Put it around places. Little sticky notes. I am free in Christ. And then number two, walk as free people. Practice personal holiness. You know what's right. Just simply walk in it. You know what Jesus says. Just simply begin to do that and ask, what would Jesus do in this situation? And for those of you that are like, well, I don't know what it looks like to walk as a Christian. Maybe you're new to the faith or you're not sure whether you're a Christian. Jump into the Word. Find someone to read with. Get the YouVersion app and listen to it on the way to work, on the way home. And learn what it looks like to listen and read the Word and what it means to live as free people in Christ. Now, some of you know that what Jesus says because you've been in the Christian faith for a long time. And so I just want to remind you of this. James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I get a sense from the Spirit as I was reviewing the sermon. I actually just added this in. Because I think there's a lot of us here that have been walking in the Christian faith for a long time and just have completely neglected some of the things that we know we're called to do. But I just want to remind you, as I say that, and conviction may go forward, you're free in Christ. You're free in Christ. So let us as a people now begin to walk in his ways and walk in the will of our God. And may all of us follow Jesus, walk in his steps, for Jesus is freedom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for setting us free. We thank you for your word. Your word is so powerful, and it comes into our lives and changes us. So, Lord, I pray that as we celebrate the 4th of July, as we come into this time of celebrating our independence, our religious freedom, our freedom as a people, pray that it would be a continual reminder of the freedom that we have in you, and that we would begin to walk in that freedom, be set free from the chains and the sin that so easily entangles us, God. Lord, prepare our hearts to take communion as a family. In Jesus' name, amen.